42, verse 1. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his laws the islands will put their hope. This is what God the Lord says, he who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and all that comes out of it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand, I will keep you, and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeons those who sit in darkness. And then from Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
And you will find rest for your souls. I don't know what you think. I'm not sure there are many sweeter phrases than that, actually. You will find rest for your souls. You know, in a world where at the moment we're sort of tossed around by regulations and the fear of a virus, a world where we're so often overwhelmed by demands and pressures, a world where it always feels like there are ladders to climb, Jesus comes and says, you will find rest for your souls. Here's the actress Helen Mirren, who I don't think I've ever quoted before. She said this, I wake up in the morning, sometimes wanting to retire from my own ambition. Let me go, I say, let me go. Haven't I done enough? Prove myself enough? Can't I be left in peace now? Why am I still eaten up with envy at what everyone else is doing? I'd give anything to know what satisfaction feels like. Hugely successful, and yet always that sense, I've not quite made it. I need a little bit more. And Jesus says, you will find rest for your souls. It's an amazing promise, isn't it? The promise of hearts at peace, souls at rest. And I guess for many of us, it's deeply attractive. Here's the question. How do you get there? How do you get to that place of rest? Well, we began to look at that last week where Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Come to me. But this morning, I want us to flesh out a little bit more. What does that look like in practice? And how do we motivate ourselves when we're tempted to wander away? So first, what does that look like in practice? Learn from Jesus. Learn from Jesus. See what he says in verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Now, take my yoke upon you. At one level, it's an agricultural image. You've got some ox, and you want them to carry a sort of trailer full of sort of agricultural stuff. And so you put a kind of yoke across them. It's a kind of bar that goes over their neck and then is attached to this trailer. In a sense, that's what the yoke is. But it becomes used often by Jewish contemporaries of Jesus to describe actually the attitude of somebody who puts themselves under God's law, who commits themselves to trying to follow the Ten Commandments and so on. That was also described as a yoke that somebody put themselves under. But here Jesus is saying, put yourself under me. Take my yoke upon you learn from me. And that's the way to find rest for your souls. As you consciously say, Lord Jesus, I'm coming under you. I'm coming under your teaching. I want to learn from you. I don't know about you, it sort of puts me in mind of the story of Mary and Martha. When Jesus goes to their house, and Martha, well, she's full of preparations to be done for Jesus' visit. And in the end, Jesus looks at her and describes her as worried and upset about many things. If you like, a bit like weary and burdened. And by contrast, there is Mary sitting at Jesus' feet, learning from him. If you like, Mary is almost consciously putting herself under the yoke of Jesus. And there she's finding rest for her soul. Come to me. Put yourself under my yoke. Learn from me. Let me teach you. Now let me explain why this is so important. Jesus is saying you cannot find rest yourself. You cannot find rest simply as you say, I'm going to decide the pattern of my life. I'm going to work out how to live. And that's important because it seems to me for most of us as human beings, we still work in the assumption that we can achieve that rest. You know, once I've achieved this one extra thing, then I will have rest. You know, once this pandemic is over, then we'll have rest. Once I've finished my degree, then I'll have rest. You know, once I've found a marriage partner and we've settled down, then I'll have rest. Once we've bought our house and we've made it look nice, then I'll have rest. Once the kids have left home, then I'll have rest. You know, once we've retired, then we'll have rest. And we never get there. We just don't get there. Because we'll never be satisfied, never have enough. We cannot achieve rest ourselves. Haven't I done enough? I would give anything to know what satisfaction looks like. And Jesus is saying the way to find rest isn't, as it were, to plow your own furrow. The way to find rest is to have the humility to say, Lord, I can't do it myself. I need you. I need you to teach me. I need to learn from you. Famous comment from Augustine. Augustine, early church leader of the 4th and 5th centuries, who writes his Confessions, a story essentially of how he tried to wander away from God, and yet in the end, God pulled him back into a relationship with him. And it starts with a prayer. Oh God, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. In a sense, we can only find rest in a relationship with our Creator. And the only person that can give us that is Jesus. And he's saying, learn from me. Let me take you to God. And I wonder whether we've discovered that. Yeah, it might be that we're here and actually, deep down, we know we can't find rest ourselves because we've tried. And Jesus is saying, there's only one place to find it. Come to me. Now that will need to be conscious. You see, I think one of the challenges for those of us who are Christians is this. We assume because we're Christians, well, we should have rest, because of course we're Christians, of course we've come under the yoke of Jesus. And yet, to be honest, unless we make that a conscious reality, we will probably find ourselves still restless. Because the reality of an average week is that most of us will be bombarded by a whole range of stuff. Yeah, if we're Christians, we might pay a little bit of attention to Jesus, I don't know, when we're at church on a Sunday. But of course, we're also bombarded by all kinds of messages from our culture as to, well, you need to have this to have rest, you need to express yourself in that way to find rest. And the reality is, for many of us, actually consciously, we're not really under the yoke of Jesus most of the time. Because there's a whole range of stuff going on. And this is telling us, actually, we're going to have to make this a conscious reality. Day by day by day, Lord, teach me. Lord, only as I sit at your feet will I know this rest. Now, forgive me, this really isn't a sermon. It's a sermon about rest. It's not a sermon to beat anybody up. But largely the point I'm making is probably our generation faces more challenges in this than any previous generation.
Because once you're in a world of phones and tablets and computers and TV screens, you are constantly being bombarded with, take this yoke, take that yoke upon you. You need to be up with that information, and if you're not, well, and almost this is saying, you need Jesus saying, you need to come and pull yourself aside and sit at my feet and learn from me, just as Mary did and Martha needed to do. For the good of your soul, for the rest of your soul, Jesus is saying, come. Come and sit at my feet. Come and learn from me. And it might be for some of us that means there are Bible reading habits that need to be resurrected. It might be that there are sermons that need to be listened to more regularly. Can I be honest? If just this is basically the sum total of your content from Jesus in a week, my suspicion is you will probably end up restless, actually. Because to be honest, it means you're kind of sitting at Jesus' feet sporadically and so on. And forgive me, again, I'm not beating anybody up at this point. I really can't off this text. So much as to say, isn't rest appealing? Don't I want to run towards it? Maybe it is time to resurrect Bible reading habits. Start with one of the Gospels. And as you do it, don't just think, okay, I've got to read the Bible, and if I tick Bible reading, great, I've made it as a Christian for today. No, no, open the Bible with a sense of, Lord, this is me sitting at your feet. This is me saying, I want to learn from you. This is me wanting to come under your yoke. And as we do that, try and look for two things. What am I learning about Jesus? What am I learning about me and how I should live? And actually, as you find stuff about Jesus, begin to pray that back to him. Lord, thank you that you're so kind in the way that you dealt with that person. Lord, thank you that you're in control, as I saw, as you calmed the winds and the waves, and so I can know rest because you're in control. And then as we look at what Jesus tells us to do, sometimes that will challenge us. Yeah, as he tells us, I don't know, to love our neighbors, ourselves, and we begin to think, oh, Lord, I know I don't do that as I should. But Lord, I thank you that even as I know the way in which I failed, that I know you fully paid for my failure in that area. And actually knowing that means I can be at rest and actually then be empowered to go and give it another try. Do you see what we're doing here? We're sitting at Jesus' feet. And we're learning from him. And then we're praying ourselves and bringing ourselves to a place of rest. You know, maybe we'll find him teaching us in the areas of, I don't know, something like money, where he'll tell us to trust God the Father to provide. He'll tell us to store up treasure on earth, treasure in heaven, not on earth. And actually we'll begin to come to a place of rest. As I say, we say, Lord, sorry, I know I've been so anxious about that thing that I need to do in my living room to make it better. And Lord, as I'm learning from you, I'm learning, actually, I've got so much more than a nice living room. And thank you that I can rest in that. Oh, I don't know, we come across Jesus as, I don't know, the bridegroom, and that language that he uses of himself, and we begin to think perhaps about our marriage that is hard, or the fact that we're single and we're finding that hard, and again, we can bring ourselves to rest because, Lord, thank you that there's an ultimate wedding and a perfect marriage one day. Do you see? In all these circumstances, we're basically putting ourselves at Jesus' feet. We're letting him teach us. And we begin to say, Lord, thank you that there's rest. And of course, that's not easily won all the time. I know there are hugely painful circumstances at times. That means it isn't a sort of automatic process. But we begin as we sit at Jesus' feet to pray ourselves and bring ourselves to rest. And so can I encourage us to put ourselves under the leadership of Jesus? Not to think, basically, I will find rest as I fulfill my ambitions. Not to think I'll find rest if I do whatever the culture tells me to do. I will find rest as I put myself under his yoke. Lord, teach me. Teach me. Because I need you. That's the basic command in this passage. And then there are two reasons Jesus gives as to why we should follow it. Two things to hold on to, perhaps when this doesn't feel attractive or we're attracted by other things. Or perhaps those times where we're just wandering away. Two motivations to come back under the yoke of Jesus. Or actually, to be honest, if you're watching this and at the moment you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, here are two reasons to become one. First, Jesus says, do this because I am, he says, gentle and humble in heart, verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. The character of a teacher will either drive you away from them or pull you towards them. The character of a teacher will either drive you away from them or pull you towards them. I remember my first driving instructor. Now, for those of you who know me well, it won't surprise you to know that as a 18-year-old, I was particularly mal-coordinated, and learning to drive was not an easy experience for me. Probably won't also surprise you to know that I was slightly nervous and twitchy about the experience. And to be honest, my driving instructor, who wasn't anybody who used to be a driving instructor here, you might know, at least at this instant, my driving instructor didn't help me massively. Because you know what it's like when you're learning to drive? You end up driving at some point through a busy town centre, and of course, at some point, you stall. Now, of course, a good driving instructor is fairly relaxed. This one wasn't. He practically bellowed, "Start the car again!" Now, of course, that didn't really have a particularly beneficial impact on me. It was, "Ah!" and sort of promptly stalled the thing again, to which point I said, "Right, so we're going back to the car park." So there was a kind of, it didn't really sort of help me massively. To be honest, my second driving instructor, again, no one here, did help me because he liked to sing opera or whatever during a driving lesson, which bizarrely was quite relaxing. But the overall point is this. A teacher who is threatening will drive you away from them. A teacher who is gentle invites you in. And Jesus is the ultimate teacher who says, come to me, put yourself under my yoke, because I'm gentle, because I'm humble or lowly. Come to me because of my character. Come to me because I'm the kindest teacher you could ever have. A number of us actually have read the book that came out last year by Dane Ortlund called Gentle and Lowly. It's a slightly different translation, same idea. And Orland in his book makes this point. He says, actually, this is the one place where Jesus describes his own character. There's no other place, actually, in the Gospels where Jesus says, I am this. I wonder how you would imagine him describing himself. His self-definition is, I'm gentle and humble and lowly. It is the fulfillment of that passage that Caroline read from Isaiah 42, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. Can you imagine Jesus seeing somebody weary and burdened, seeing somebody like somebody bent over, a reed sort of bent over, about to break, and Jesus doesn't come and say, ha, well, they've wasted their life. He's gentle, tender, or a little flame that's just burning out, and Jesus doesn't say, oh, it's just a bit of a waste of time. No, he won't snuff it out. For some of us at the moment who are just finding the present circumstances incredibly hard to live with, he cares. He's gentle. He's lowly. He doesn't stand on his position, but bends down, as it were, crouches near to the person in difficulty. You see, these are words that are quoted again on Palm Sunday, actually, where Jesus arrives as the great king in Jerusalem. And as he arrives as the great king in Jerusalem, he rides on a donkey. Because he's that sort of king. A gentle and a lowly king. Here's the way Ortlund puts it. Let me give you a taste of his book. He says this, the cumulative testimony of the four Gospels is that when Jesus Christ sees the fallenness of the world all about him, his deepest impulse, his most natural instinct, is to move towards that sin and suffering, not away from it. because that's what he's like. He's humble, he's lowly, he will come near and come near in great tenderness and great gentleness. And the question for each of us is this: as we think about Jesus in our minds, is that the way we think about him? Is the Jesus you think about gentle and humble? Now, in many ways, that can be quite hard for us. It can be hard because when you think about Jesus, you end up putting together characteristics that feel incompatible in anybody else. So whenever you think about Jesus, often our minds will go, oh, gosh, he's a great and an almighty king who can control the winds and the waves. And to be honest, normally when you have somebody that powerful, they're not gentle. And they're not humble. And the challenge actually for each of us as we think about Jesus is to carry together in our minds the sheer range of his perfections, that he is so powerful and yet so gentle and so tender. And actually, as we try to get a right image of Jesus in our heads, so often it will just be the work of, Lord, even as I admire your power, don't let me think about the normal corollaries that go with that when they don't apply to you. Because he is gentle and humble. And he's the king who invites us in and says, come to me. And so as we're working out, where am I going to look for direction in life? Am I going to go my own way? Am I going to take up Jesus' yoke? Here's how Jesus motivates us to learn from him. I'm gentle. I'm kind. I'm lowly. I'm humble. I'm the teacher you most desire deep down. Because I'm not going to crush you. And when you fail and you mess up, I'm not going to land like a great big fist on you. I'm going to draw near to you and care for you. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And then the second motivation. The second motivation that Jesus gives us in Matthew 11, he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And then the second motivation, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. See what Jesus is saying here? Jesus is saying you are weary and burdened. And you're weary and burdened because of the heaviness of the load that has been put upon you. Yeah, maybe like the kind of Helen Mirren thing. It's the burden that you've put upon yourself to achieve something. Or for others, perhaps it's a burden that other people have put on you throughout your lives, expectations that they have, and they're heavy. And Jesus is basically saying, exchange that burden that you've put on yourself or that the culture's put on you or that other people have put on you, exchange that heavy burden for mine. Because my burden is light, and because the burden is light, my yoke is easy. Now, I don't know about you, over the years I've slightly wrestled with those words. My burden is light. And it almost sounds like, you know, my burden is light because, hey, I'm not going to make too many demands of you. You know, following me isn't going to be too difficult. My burden is light. And then you think, hang on, Jesus. Don't you realize some of the other things you say? If anyone would come after me, they must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. Jesus, that doesn't sound particularly light, actually. If you follow me, it will involve hating your father and mother. Jesus, that doesn't feel very light, really. What's going on here? How can Jesus claim that his burden is light when, frankly, there are so many demands? When actually over the years to follow Jesus, well, has cost some Christians their lives and has cost other Christians their families. What does it mean for Jesus to say his burden is light? Well, it's to realize in a deeper sense it is. Because he carries it. And we always do it with him. You see, I was thinking of those Christians down the years who sacrificed a huge amount and you who would also say, actually, their burden was light. Early in the year, I was listening to a recorded talk from Helen Rosevere. Helen Rosevere was a missionary doctor in the Congo in the 20th century. She's now with the Lord. But when she agreed to be a missionary doctor, she knew almost certainly it would involve her not getting married throughout her life, which was the case. What she didn't know was that she would be caught up in a military conflict, imprisoned, assaulted, mistreated. And I heard her give this talk, and she talked about the various things that had happened to her in her life. And yet, almost unwittingly, I'm not sure she was conscious of it actually, there was a phrase that she used all the way through. She kept talking of the lovely Lord Jesus. And I was thinking this, and then the lovely Lord Jesus did that. And I was reading the Bible, and the lovely Lord Jesus spoke about this. And then there was this circumstance, and the lovely Lord Jesus did that for me. I don't know whether it was conscious or not, really. But here was somebody at one level, you could say, grief, your burden was heavy. And yet at another level was clearly at rest because that burden was carried by the lovely Lord Jesus, who is gentle and humble in heart. You see, here's the thing. Burdens feel much lighter when we're at rest with Jesus. Burdens feel much, much lighter when we're at rest with Jesus. When we come to him and actually consciously we say, Lord Jesus, you're so kind and you're with me. When we come to him and say, Lord Jesus, I'm so messed up in that area and there's that temptation that I'm still facing, but I praise you that you've paid for my failure. When we come to him and say, Lord Jesus, there are so many demands going on and yet you're in control and I don't need to carry them actually. When we come to that place, even a burden that looks heavy becomes lighter because we carry it with him, and indeed he does the bulk of the carrying. And Jesus says, come to me, take my yoke upon you, for I am gentle in heart. Take my yoke upon you, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And then you will find rest for your souls. And so my appeal to us is this. Don't carry the burdens alone. Don't try and find rest yourself. Come to Jesus. Come to him. And do that lastly, just in two practical ways. Get your thinking about Jesus right. It might be that's the main thing some of us need to take away this morning. We've just begun to see Jesus as something other than gentle and humble. We've begun to see him maybe as a driving instructor bellowing at us. You'll never come to him unless you have a right image of him. This powerful king who is gentle. Come to him. And then secondly, do that practically. Can I just ask, what's the practical step you're going to take in the year ahead to sit at Jesus' feet and to learn from him? It will need a practical step, probably. It will involve time, that, actually. Just to sit at Jesus' feet and say, Lord, teach me. Teach me such that my soul comes to rest. But I have to be honest, it is the most beneficial use of time we could ever do. Because it is so much easier living for rest than living for rest. And we find rest as we come to Jesus. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Let's pray together. Just a moment of quiet. So I wonder what you want to say to Jesus. Maybe it is, Lord, help me to see you as you truly are, gentle and humble. Maybe it is, Lord, help me to put this into practice. I'm worried and upset. Help me to come and sit at your feet and learn from you. Just a moment of quiet, and then I'll pray. Lord Jesus, we praise you for your perfect character. Praise you that you are gentle and kind. Praise you, Lord Jesus, that you have paid for our sins such that we can have rest. praise you that your teaching is wise, that actually where everybody else is telling us that we need to do things to achieve rest, thank you, Lord, that you are simply inviting us to come to you. So, Lord, help us to bring ourselves to you, to sit at your feet and to learn from you, we pray. May we be a group of people more at rest in the months ahead, we pray, because we've come to you. For your name's sake, amen. Well, we're going to have our final song, which speaks of the sheer sweetness of the name of Jesus. Let's stand together.